and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. You know, healthcare reform, or the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, there is a new law in our country that has the potential to move us closer to affordable health care for everyone. So beyond the political rhetoric, what do people really need to know about the Affordable Care Act? What do you want to know about the Affordable Care Act? What pieces are in place, what's coming up, and how is Virginia implementing the changes? Jill Hankin, staff attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center, specializes in healthcare law. She's here today to provide straightforward information about the new law, and hopefully you'll learn about what the Affordable Care Act could mean for you. Jill, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Elaine.
Well, your role with Virginia Poverty Law Center focuses on healthcare law, correct?
That's right.
So what does your work in that area entail, and why does the Virginia Poverty Law Center have someone dedicated to healthcare?
Well, the Virginia Poverty Law Center is interested in providing information, legal representation, and assistance to Virginia's low-income population, and you really can't do that unless you consider all the aspects of life that low-income people experience, from housing issues, consumer issues, and domestic issues, and health issues.
Mm-hmm. So some just basic human needs.
Well, that's
as
right.
As well as how to become self-sufficient and thrive?
Of course. And very often, health expenses are very high, and low-income people who aren't insured just don't have ways to afford the health care that they need. So it becomes a public issue as well, since folks who don't have insurance may end up inappropriately in emergency rooms for their care, and that increases the cost of health care for everybody.
That's right, because that's the most expensive way to treat people.
That's right.
And then also, they wind up often digging themselves into a hole because they're not able to pay those bills.
Well, that's right. So a lot of the work I've done over the years has been to try to improve and expand public health insurance programs in Virginia for low-income people. So I do work a lot on the Medicaid program, the FAMIS program for uninsured children, and we're trying to make those programs work as well as they can for the populations they're intended to serve.
Very good. So when you say that you're doing that work and you're an attorney, are you actually bringing those cases to trial, or are you working more on the policy side?
I work mostly on policy. I do a lot of work with the Virginia legislature and trying to sometimes we get statutory changes in place to help improve programs, or budget amendments to improve programs. And I also work a lot with the Department for Medical Assistance Services on their policies, and also with the Department of Social Services, because that's where low-income people apply for their health care coverage.
So you're trying to make it more readily accessible to apply to Medicaid for those that are eligible, and then also just make the system work better for everyone.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Everything from who's eligible and how do you apply.
Gotcha.
So there are lots of policies all the way through.
And so tell us, you know, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act came into law in 2010, right?
Yes, March of 2010.
March of 2010. So I would anticipate this is going to affect your work directly, right?
Oh, absolutely. I was very engaged while Congress was considering enacting the law, and I've been engaged ever since the law was enacted mm-hmm. to help provide information and education to the public and to policymakers, because all the states have lots of choices they need to make and lots of changes in the law they need to make to fully implement the Affordable Care Act.
So to fully implement it, it's being rolled out in different phases, correct?
That's right. There were many new provisions that took effect back in 2010. The big changes take effect in 2014. But ever since the beginning, there have been improvements in private health insurance, because let's not forget that people with private insurance have also had problems actually accessing the health care that they need. A lot of people with private insurance, number one, they see skyrocketing premiums, mm-hmm. higher out-of-pocket costs. They see care that they need denied because of pre-existing conditions. So there are a lot of ways that the Affordable Care Act addresses those private insurance issues to make things work better for people who have insurance.
So that's where some of the changes have already taken place in that private insurance arena?
That's right. There have been a lot of important changes, and we could talk about some of them.
Yeah, what are some of those?
Some of them that the public really likes the change that allows adult children up to age 26 to stay on their parents' insurance policies. I know my own daughter is benefiting from that change in the law since she graduated from college. The law also has eliminated the ability of insurance companies to put annual limits on coverage and lifetime limits on insurance coverage. This is for private insurance. So for example, the people who are the sickest right. are the ones who end up hitting some of those limitations, and those are the kinds of things that have changed because of the Affordable Care Act. For children, children cannot be denied coverage because of pre-existing conditions, which is really important. Can you imagine moving to a new state, a new job, getting your private health insurance, but because your child has asthma, not being able to get the asthma medications and services that your child needs?
Yeah,
so for kids, that has been eliminated. And
that's a huge difference.
As the law continues to be implemented in January 2014, insurance plans will not be able to deny coverage to adults for their pre-existing conditions. Some of the other things that have changed since 2010 that are already in effect have to do with the cost-sharing requirements in your private health insurance coverage. And people may have realized some of this in this past fall. When you got your flu shot this past fall, maybe you didn't pay that copay that you used to pay to get a flu shot. So now insurance plans will not be able to charge for out-of-pocket costs for preventive care services.
Preventive care services. You know, I noticed that, and I didn't even realize it was going on, but I had gone in for just a routine checkup, and I was expecting to pay a copay, and I didn't. And,
that's right.
And it was a nice surprise.
That's a nice surprise, and that's because mm-hmm. of the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. So things like your well health visits mm-hmm. on an annual basis, or certain screenings like mammograms, colonoscopies, your flu shots, all of those should now be available without those out-of-pocket costs. And another change that took effect back in 2010 was a new program for people who've been uninsured for 6 months or more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called the Pre-Existing Condition Insurance Plan for adults and children. For folks who've been uninsured for 6 months, there's a new access to private insurance that you can get through the federal government is running our Virginia program. And the premiums for that insurance are much more reasonable than a lot of insurance that you might be looking at in the private market in the state. It's called the Pre-Existing Condition Insurance Plan.
Where do people find out about that?
You can apply for this online at the federal government health reform website, which is www.healthcare.gov,
okay. And
look for the pre-existing condition insurance plan. So this is for people who've had a really tough time getting insurance through the private market, who've been uninsured for 6 months, and they have pre-existing conditions. So if you've delayed, if some of your listeners have delayed getting services, treatment, surgery that they need because they just can't find private insurance that will take them or that they can afford, they should check this out.
Great, good. That sounds like an important resource. That was www.healthcare.gov,
right?
GOV.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Were there any other professions?
Well, I did want to mention one of the most important things that's happening under the Affordable Care Act is more scrutiny of health insurance premiums. In Virginia, we've had very, very little oversight of health insurance premiums, and many of us have seen our premiums skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. Is it up to the state level to oversee those premiums?
Yeah, the states have had a lot of control over this, mm-hmm. but the federal law, the Affordable Care Act, does add new requirements that are very important. One is what we call the 80-20 rule, or the medical loss ratio. This is requiring private insurance companies to pay at least 80 cents on every premium dollar on actual medical care services. So they must pay 80 cents on the dollar for actual care. So that limits the other 20 cents for their profits and CEO salaries and administrative costs. Now, this is the first time that there's been that kind of control over health insurance premiums. And when companies fail to meet the 80-20 rule, they have to provide rebates to their customers. And just this in the last couple of weeks, about $43 million in excess premium charges have been returned to Virginia consumers. And that's because of the Affordable Care Act.
Oh, so that's, wow, that sounds like a good benefit to get some money back in your pocket if your insurance company isn't doing what they need to do.
Exactly. It's good to get the rebate if you're entitled to it. But what's mm-hmm. more important is that from now and in the future, the premiums that you pay are going to be going towards your health care coverage and not for profits.
And hopefully we won't see some of the really high percentage escalations in our premiums.
That's another thing that the Affordable Care Act does require is closer review of annual increases in mm-hmm. premiums. Mm-hmm. Anything over 10% is subject to close scrutiny.
Right. Well, good. That's a relief. So it sounds like a lot of the parts of the law that have already rolled out are aimed at equity in our healthcare system. There are the pieces in place for those with existing health needs, sort of leveling the playing field in terms of being able to have your insurance plan pay for the healthcare that you actually need. I think there was something for women too, right? That just came about gender equity in health insurance.
A few weeks ago, another part of the law took effect that now requires certain preventive health services specifically for women. And again, they will not carry a copay with them. So this includes, women visits, screening for pregnant women, make sure they don't have diabetes, contraceptives, HIV screening and counseling. All of these are now available in new health plans, or after your health plan renews, the next time your health plan renews, these provisions will take effect. And I should also mention that the new law has already helped a lot of Medicare beneficiaries. Infamous donut hole for prescription drug coverage.
So Medicare is the health insurance plan for our older and disabled.
Correct. Okay. Medicare is for people who are over 65 or disabled and receiving Social Security benefits mm-hmm. for 2 years.
So the donut hole was to a loss in coverage that they experienced when they were in their prescription drug plan, right?
Exactly.
And then the Affordable Care Act eliminates the donut hole?
Affordable Care Act phases out the donut hole. Okay. It will be gone completely by 2020, but people who are hitting that donut hole now have already received some rebates and had lower charges for their prescriptions while they're in the donut hole.
Yeah, well, that's really helpful for seniors that have a lot of their healthcare costs tied up in prescriptions.
Well, exactly. If you hit the donut mm-hmm. hole, it means you have very high prescription drug costs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the parts of the law that are going to roll out in the future, some of them are maybe a little more controversial. Some of them were more directly impacted by or wrapped up in the decision of the Supreme Court back in June. So, the Supreme Court held up the individual mandate, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, but there's still wiggle room for states not to provide as much coverage as maybe Affordable Care Act intended. Can you share a little bit more about the details of what's to come in 2014?
Well, the two major changes in 2014 are, first of all, the health benefit exchange will be available in every state.
What's that?
The exchange, consider it a marketplace where people will be able to shop for their insurance, and they'll be able to compare different plans and policies with apples-to-apples comparisons and choose a variety of levels of coverage to suit their family's needs. And depending on their income, there can be federal subsidies available to help the individual pay for their insurance that they select for their family. So buying health insurance through the exchange will be the only way to get federal subsidies to help make that insurance affordable. So it's really important
for people to go through that marketplace.
And that's also where small businesses are going to be shopping for insurance. And the benefit for small businesses is that right now, every small business is out there on their own trying to negotiate prices with insurance companies. Well, with the exchange, small businesses will be able to take advantage of the fact that many small businesses are engaged in this marketplace. So there will be a broader, what we call, risk pool so that the cost of coverage shouldn't be so great. Mm-hmm. And I should also mention that small businesses are already benefiting from certain tax credits that are available under the new law. And so that's one thing that happens in 2014, and that the exchange was not affected by the Supreme Court decision, but the Supreme Court did require or did uphold the individual mandate requiring people to have insurance. There are exceptions to that rule, but most people will have to have insurance. And again, this will help control the costs for everyone. Mm-hmm. With everyone participating, it's expected that the cost of the health insurance will not skyrocket like we've mm-hmm. seen in past years.
So hopefully, ideally, the costs are shared by all and the benefits are shared by all.
That's exactly right. And the other major change that occurs in January 2014 is the Medicaid expansion. The federal law created a new eligibility level nationwide for low-income people to qualify for Medicaid at about 138% of the federal poverty guideline, which translates to about $15,000 a year for an individual and about $30,000 a year for a family of four. So still low income. And this is the population that we know has had the hardest time getting insurance, particularly adults. For example, in Virginia, parents of children who might be eligible for Medicaid, the parents themselves have not been eligible because our eligibility levels are so low. Right now in Virginia, our eligibility levels are under 30% of poverty. So it's like $10,000 a year for a family of four. So very, very low-income people can get Medicaid, but if you make more than $10,000 a year or so, the parents can't get coverage in Virginia. So, of course, the Affordable Care Act would dramatically change that by raising the eligibility level to 138% of the poverty line.
How many people is that going to
impact?
Well,
I should say, in addition to parents, childless adults right now in Virginia, just low-income adults who don't have children and they're not pregnant and they're not disabled, they can't get Medicaid at all, regardless of their income. Mm. So they, too, will qualify for Medicaid at 138% of the poverty line. And we're expecting over 400,000 Virginians to newly qualify for Medicaid. Now, that's out of a population of about 1 million people who are uninsured.
Okay.
So nearly half of the uninsured in Virginia will newly qualify for Medicaid. So it's an enormous change and very, very important for our state. And this is where the Supreme Court has made this change a little more difficult because it allows states to decide whether or not they want to adopt the Medicaid expansion.
Okay. Well, before we get into the details of how Virginia is approaching that, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jill Hankin, who's an attorney with the Virginia Poverty Law Center. She's helping to clarify and demystify the Affordable Care Act, the law also known as health care reform or Obamacare. Now, Jill, you were starting to talk about how Virginia is looking at Medicaid expansion. I'm curious about what you see is going to take place there if Virginia is going to be able to expand coverage to those 400 potential individuals.
400,000.
Yes, 400,000. Yeah. Quite a few more. What are the next steps that the state's going to take?
Well, the Supreme Court basically decided that states could not be forced to implement the Medicaid expansion. They could not be coerced with a threat that they could lose all their Medicaid federal funding if they don't implement the expansion. Mm-hmm. But the expansion is still part of the law. It's still a mandatory part of the law. And so every state now is thinking about it. Mm-hmm. Some states have already announced that they do plan to implement. Other states, some governors have said that they're not. Governor McDonald has expressed some concerns about the Medicaid expansion, but he's directed his staff and his agencies to thoroughly analyze the pros and the cons of this expansion. One thing that's very important to know is that for the first 3 years of this expansion, the entire cost for the newly eligible population will be paid by the federal government. So, and after the first 3 years, the cost to the state, there are some costs to the state gradually up to just 10% of the cost.
Of the cost.
So even over... Even in the future, the federal government will continue to pay 90% of the cost of this newly eligible population, and states will pay 10%. So this represents a huge influx of federal dollars into Virginia to provide coverage to over 400,000 uninsured people. And this is money that will go not to the individuals, it's to pay for their health care services. So the mm-hmm. funds will go to hospitals, doctors, other providers, pharmacies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. of course, when that kind of money is being spent on health services...
Well, that grows the economy overall.
It grows the economy uh-huh. because people get wages and use mm-hmm. those wages to buy things and groceries and cars
That's right.
and et cetera. And we should expect to see some... even some new revenue coming to the state as a result of this influx of federal funding. So I feel confident when the Virginia officials do analyze this coverage very carefully and see what the pros and cons are, fully crunch those numbers to see what the costs are versus the benefits, that Virginia, too, will step forward and provide new Medicaid coverage for this very vulnerable population.
Well, I know you'll continue to watch it and keep us informed on what happens there. But, you know, in the upcoming election, I know we're going to hear a lot about this issue. We already are hearing it in the political rhetoric. And some people, you know, may not be 100% truthful in the information they share about the Affordable Care Act, or they just take a particular angle, which, you know, it's a political issue. It's understandable. You know, death panels or something like that, that comes to mind. So where can people turn to get the straightforward information without all the political spin attached to it?
Well, there are many websites where you can get information about the Affordable Care Act. I think one of the most respected entities that analyzes healthcare is the Kaiser Family Foundation. So their website is www.kff.org. They have just a lot of information about the Affordable Care Act, and it's all very scientific and
objective.
And very mm-hmm. objective. Mm-hmm. I also think that the federal government's healthcare.gov website, which I mentioned earlier, has a lot of information that's helpful. And you could search for information particular to your state. You
Great.
Can look at regulations. You could look at fact sheets. There's a lot of information there as well.
Good, good. Well, it's nice to know that there's somewhere to go. And, you know, another thing we're hearing in some of the political rhetoric is repealing Obamacare, which, you know, it's kind of interesting that Obamacare is a reclaimed term now. It's now a good thing, not a negative thing. But is it possible to repeal?
Sure, any law can be repealed, and this will all depend on the outcome of the presidential election and what Congress decides to do in the future.
But it would be repealing all those other things that have gone in effect already that you talked about that a lot of people like.
Well, that will be the dilemma if we get to that point.
We'll see.
We'll see where where we end up. But there's a lot in this law that's very, very important. To me, it's landmark legislation, not unlike Social Security legislation, civil rights legislation, all landmark legislation that is initially met with horror and controversy and questions, but then later becomes part of the fabric of the United States. And I think that's what we're...
That's the road we're headed down.
I certainly hope so.
Well, I did want to mention before we leave, we just have a couple of minutes. There is a meeting tomorrow, August 15th, Wednesday, August 15th. It's being hosted by Virginia Consumer Voices for Healthcare. And they are a coalition of Virginia consumers and member organizations that are interested in the issue of the Affordable Care Act. They're hosting a meeting Wednesday, August 15th from 10 a.m. to noon at North Park Branch Library. That's a Henrico County Library at 8508 Franconia Road. Again, North Park Branch Library from 10 to noon tomorrow, August 15th. So if you'd like to learn more, I encourage you to attend that meeting and find out ways that you can maybe get involved. And are there other ways people could get involved?
Well, I think that's a good start. And you could also, the meeting is a good start, but the Virginia Voices, Consumer Voices Coalition also has a website. Which is www.vaconsumervoices.org.
Great.
And people can sign up to join that coalition and to read more information about the Affordable Care Act.
Well, Jill, we're out of time, unfortunately. Jill Hankins been speaking with us here today on Inspire Indeed. She is with Virginia Poverty Law Center, and she shared a lot of great, valuable information about the Affordable Care Act and what it can mean to you. Jill, thanks again. We really appreciate your time here on WRIR, Richmond Independent Radio.